Hi, I'm Annie Parker, and this is Source Code. This is where we speak to founders from around the world and share their amazing stories of the human stories behind their companies. Today, I'm joined by David Prosser. Thank you for joining us, David.
Thank you, Annie.
And he is the founder of a startup here in South Africa called Community. Dave, do you want to just explain a little bit more about who you are and what your startup does?
Very good. So, David Prosser, born in a little country north of South Africa called Zimbabwe, and got into tech kind of by accident. Kind of fell out of once I'd finished varsity, fell into a job in the tech industry, and just got really lucky that I fell into the right space. And I worked in the formal tech sector for some large software companies for some time, and then ended up moving into the telco space, and just realized that what I needed to do was to create a space and a company of my own with some partners. And yeah, that's how I fell into the startup space.
Cool. And so how long has Community been going for now?
Just short of 10 years, believe it or not.
Ooh, yeah. That's a whole decade right there.
Yeah, that's right. And quite a journey it's been.
And how big is the company now? So how many employees do you have?
So we have about 23 employees. We do a lot of contracting and so on. And we now operate EMEA, so out of the UK, Middle East, Africa. But founded here in South Africa, very close to, and right in the center of a developing market, and really a developing country over the last 10 years.
So was that a deliberate choice for you to build your company in a developing market?
So there was a deliberate choice, and there were some choices that were pushed on us. So a deliberate choice in that, you know, it's relatively easy to build technology for developed markets, and I say relatively easy, but when you take into account the challenges that are faced by developing markets in terms of the proliferation of internet and smartphones and other first world technologies, we saw even when we started Community that there would be a requirement to bridge, what people famously talk about now as the next billion. Mm-hmm. And so that connection to developing markets was important for us in terms of building affordable, inclusive digital solutions that are applicable in both developed and developing economies. And then the second part of it was that, we had a really strong network here in terms of technology skills. And it just made sense for us to start here in what was a home market for us.
So you're 10 years in now. I'm sure there's been plenty of ups and downs along the way. What, if anything, would you go back and do differently?
First and foremost, not being too arrogant about how great our idea was and the value that we could bring to customers. So in hindsight, I would have given away the technology to our first customers in a number of segments, just got them to pay for the implementation services, even if it was a free lifetime license, just to get the referenceability and not so much prove to ourselves that the technology could do what we claimed it could do, but to prove to the market and build out that referenceability. And the thing is, when you're building a startup and earning revenue and proving your business model is really important, that's a difficult choice to make. But I've often thought back, and that without doubt, that's the biggest change I would have made.
That's interesting. So building a company isn't just about the technology; it's also about the business, the systems, the DNA of a company, and the culture that you build around it. Was that something that you realized early on that you needed to consider and be thoughtful around, or was it something you learned along the way?
I think it's something that we've learned along the way, to be honest. I think early on we just thought being excellent at technology and building a great platform would bring customers to us, customers and partners. And in actual fact, the as important as building great technology is building a great company, both in terms of operations, the way you engage with customers and partners. You know, in fairness, I think maybe we fought more fights or battles along the way than we really needed to, because we thought those were, you know, absolute must wins at that point in time. And hindsight, we could have taken things a little bit, some easier turns.
So you've been doing this for a little while now. You know, 10 years is a long time, and it's hard. So what is it that keeps you going and get you jumping out of bed every day?
It's the pursuit of a vision that I think we were a little bit way ahead on. So what Community does as an organization is we build and operate a rapid digitization platform that runs in Azure. And essentially, we simplify and accelerate the way that organizations build out compelling end-to-end digital platforms. And to put it simply for technical audiences, we're looking to democratize the skill set that's required to be able to build out these really compelling end-to-end digital platforms from data through operations to wraparound edge experiences. And really, you know, despite the fact that we're 10 years in and we've managed to keep going, we're really now getting to the point where worldwide the industry is has woken up to the fact that to build out these digital platforms that enable everyday organizations to operate the way that kind of large disruptive Silicon Valley companies do is complex. It's difficult to acquire the skills that you need to be able to build and run these platforms, and it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've built a low-code, a high automation platform that just makes it faster, better, more cost-efficient to do this. And it really what excites me is that every single day there's momentum. You know, we see, you know, more partners, large industry players coming on board with our propositions. Commercial relationships that we thought not possible, you know, 6 or 3 months ago, you are falling into place now. And that's exciting. It's the manifestation of many years and hours of hard work.
I love that because a lot of people often think that startups are overnight success stories. And of course, they very rarely ever are.
Exactly.
It's many, many years of blood, sweat and tears that actually make this all come to fruition. So in building the company and, you know, being the founder, was there anything that you weren't quite expecting or were a bit unprepared for when you sort of found some of those challenges along the way?
Yes, there were many things, and I'm going to try and just focus in on a few. The first was that, you know, when we started the company, and particularly we started the company with a competent set of people who had industry relationships and track record, and in the South African market, it was very difficult to raise capital, VC, and so, mm-hmm. you know, at that stage, everybody thought that, you know, I'll just start a company because I've got an idea. Of course, it's going to be successful, and investors are going to throw money at me. But that was quite a tough thing for us, and we went through a phase where we actually started the company with a pseudo VC involved with us, and then it turned out that they couldn't quite meet their commitments. We had to go and kind of decide to either close things up or go it alone, and we went it alone.
How far in was that, the decision?
It was about 3 months.
Wow, so quick.
Yeah, it was scary. So, Ian, what we did is we went out and we closed our first three customers, and somehow we managed to persuade them to pay us in advance, and they believed in us because of our track record.
That's incredible. They paid in advance.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank God for them is all I can say. And, you know, on the journey, there are many roses that fall in your path, you know, and you tend to remember the prickles. But yes, just access to capital and for really pretty high-grade R&D initiatives were difficult to come by. I think one of the really tough things has been navigating your commitments or our commitments to people and people who have glued their own future plans and livelihoods to our vision. Mm-hmm. and navigating this road of being able to make sure that all stakeholders are adequately looked after, and of course particularly your people, because if you don't have your people with you, you don't have a tomorrow. So there have been, you know, a lot of tough sacrifices that have had to be made to make sure that our people were safe and feeling as though everything was going fine, even though some days it wasn't.
And what sort of sacrifices were you sort of thinking of here?
Well, not paying yourself.
Right. I thought that's where you were going to go.
Yes. Selling houses. Plugging into pension funds, you know, and I'm not just talking about myself here. So those are some of the things that it takes to grit it out. The good thing is that if you still believe after all of that, you've either got too thick a skin or you're onto something that's going to work out.
Right. So we've touched on how you sort of being a founder takes its toll, and you know, as on the business side. But what about for your family? You know, what did that do? You know, trying to build this company, how did that impact on your family as well?
To find a word, euphemistically speaking, it's been challenging. Maybe closer to terrifying. I think people who found businesses have a certain sense of pride and commitment, not just to themselves, but to others. And to take your family and your partner's families on this kind of journey is it's very challenging. And they always sacrifice with you.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always their choice. And, you know, to be honest, you know, I've actually had to listen very carefully to people who've counseled me, you know, when I've been kind of pulling my hair out and saying, you know, why, and why can't it be easier? And people have counseled me and said, you made these choices. This is the choice that you made, and you made it with free will. So any choice that we make is tough, but it is tough when it impacts those around you. I mean, and it's not just family. You know, sometimes they're suppliers,
right,
who back you. Something doesn't work out with a customer, you have cash flow constraints, you've got to lean on your suppliers, and they help you to kind of carry things for a while. Yeah, those have been some of the tough things. I mean, in my personal life, you know, one of the things that I got married pretty much the same time that we were starting Community Up,
right,
after having started another business before that, and we quickly had a child, and my son was born with a condition where a condition called microtia and atresia, which is quite a rare condition, and he needed very, very specialized care and surgeries down the line, and so I needed to go and spend quite a lot of time in California with him to get this done. You know, as a family,
sure,
we went over twice, and then I took him there last year. You know, and thank God, thank the universe, you know, that's all worked out well in amongst building, you know, a business with big R&D commitments, building relationships with, you know, big multinational companies like Microsoft.
That's
and
overwhelming.
Somehow it is. So when you think back on it, it is. And then you know, if I think about, you know, as an example, we've got a cricket test going on today in South Africa, and
yes,
South Africa has our backs against the wall, and our batsmen go out there and they've got no choice. They've got to face that ball and do the best that they can. And yeah, as overwhelming as it is, you've just got to, every step of the way, you've got to do the best that you can, and you've got to back yourself that the sum of your efforts and your people's efforts and your partner's efforts are going to get you to where you need to go.
Just take it one day at a time, or one ball at a time.
Yeah, that's it.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that you sought out a friend or a colleague to give you some advice, even if it was just to vent. How important has actually having a group of people around you to help you out been?
It was very, very difficult at first. You know, having come from a corporate background, where and being a person who it tends to be quite driven around achievement, it was very difficult to ask for advice and help. But it's something that I learned along the way, and I think it's a very important thing for founders to remember that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to ask for help because you can't do it on your own. And, you know, just you're referencing back to my son, Finn, one of the great people that I've had as let's call it a coach and a friend along the way, coached me around, you know, when we needed to go and take Finn to the US. And he said to me, David, you need to do this and you need to ask for whatever help you need to make it happen for your son. And I said to him, but you know me and I'm proud and I can make this happen. And he said to me, one day am I going to be talking to your son saying he's had the positive outcomes that he has because his dad was vulnerable enough to ask for help? Or am I going to be saying things are tough for you now because your dad couldn't ask for help? And yeah, that's an example in my personal life, but it was a real lesson for me that people actually want to help you. Yeah. It's very seldom that human beings want other human beings to fail.
It's such an important piece of knowledge to share, I think, with everybody watching, that, you know, this theme that vulnerability is not a weakness.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that I love to finish these interviews with all of the fabulous founders we've been speaking to is words of advice that you might have for other founders out there. So what would you tell other founders, particularly if they're, you know, sort of struggling a little bit or finding it hard, or maybe even just not sure whether to jump in and go and chase their dream?
First and foremost, determination and grit is your number one asset. At many, many stages along your trip, you're going to think you're going to fail. You're going to believe that you're going to fail. And your personal grit is what's going to get you through. And, you know, we were recently selected onto a scale-up program. One of the coaches on the program was talking about what the market perceived as the path of their success, which was a curve that looked something like that. And he said, in reality, it looked like this.
Yep.
And at least twice, they faced losing everything. And this is now a large, listed, multinational a tech company in the financial services space. It's a little anecdotal, but this has really served me well. Somebody once let me in on this kind of Mexican proverb, which goes something like this. If you lie by the river and drink tequila for long enough, the body of your enemy will float by. And basically what that says is that time on the pitch, time in the market is your greatest asset. So whatever you can do to stay in the game, you know, every day in the game, you're closer to your success. You're learning more. Your product is getting better. You're getting more customers and partners that are going to help you on your way. The second is people. The way that you choose the people who are going to work with you, your partners, your fellow shareholders, investors, of course, the people who work for you, also the people that you partner with. Those decisions, you know, in a high-tech world, which is increasingly becoming more and more high-tech, it's still people that make the difference. People work with people. And the third is family. those nights where you can't sleep and you don't know how you're going to get through the next day, if everything goes wrong, your family will be there for you. It's very important to hold them in that way. And, you know, they need to know while you're on this tough journey, as exhilarating it is, that they're at the center of what you're doing, and they need to feel as important to you as they are to you.
That's incredible advice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, David. It's been a genuine pleasure to learn more about you, more about your company,
Thank you.
The amazing work that you're doing here in South Africa and now across Europe as well. Thank you for watching. My name is Annie Parker, and that was Source Code.